the headshots and so forth, family groupings. But he is more the outdoors type with his photography. The thing about it is he also teaches small business owners how to use photography in Facebook and Instagram, which is a very good service, I would think. He's very well accepted.
Sure.
And he has classes and workshops. He says a lot of realtors and owners of small businesses attend these to figure out how to use to their advantage in their business.
Mm-hmm.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news out of Russia, as reports are there have been deadly explosions at least one and perhaps two subway stations in the city of St. Petersburg. Here's Sharon Reed.
Russian media says explosions at two stations killed at least 10 people and injured 30. One or more explosive devices reportedly was filled with shrapnel.
Russian President Vladimir Putin reportedly says terrorism's not been ruled out, and he's also sent condolences to the families of the victims. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he hopes the full Senate will be voting to confirm Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch by the end of this week. That is, Senate Democrat Joe Donnelly of Indiana says he'll be voting for Gorsuch. Here's more from Richard Jordan.
Donnelly joins fellow Democrats Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota and Joe Manchin of West Virginia.
The Senate Judiciary Panel will vote on Gorsuch today. This is USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries, the teacher leads the disciple into the Chamber of Garments, and there reveals to him the mantle of Messiah. In the Bible, the mantle or the cloak represented one's calling and anointing. When Moses went up to God, the mantle fell on Joshua. When Elijah went up to heaven at the end of his ministry, his mantle fell on Elisha. Messiah also ascended to heaven. But on whom did his mantle fall? The answer is Messiah's mantle so big it couldn't possibly fall on any one person. It falls on all of us. Each one has a part, and it fell on the day of Pentecost. And Messiah's mantle is now given to you. How do you fulfill your calling? By finding it in his calling, by living it in his power, and walking by his spirit. For the mantle of Messiah has fallen on you, and in that you can do all things through him who strengthens you.
The Book of Mysteries will change your life, and it's now available online and wherever books are sold. And at mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
It's the first Monday morning commute since a section of the busy Interstate 85 in Atlanta collapsed last Thursday because of a massive fire. This is an engineering professor who uses that highway to get to work each day.
We've all just got up a little bit earlier and prepared ourselves, you know, how we'll feel about that in 2 months from now. You know, it's hard to tell.
A homeless man now facing charges of first-degree arson for setting the fire that caused that collapse. As court documents indicate, Basil Ellaby was smoking crack at the time. He's being held on $200,000 bond. Two others who were with him were arrested for trespassing. Could take months for that highway to be repaired and reopened. Top seeds North Carolina and Gonzaga will face off in the NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship game tonight in Arizona. The Tar Heels beating Oregon 77-76 on Saturday. Gonzaga beat South Carolina 77-73. Tip-off is at 9:20 Eastern Time this evening. This is USA Radio News.
If your pet needed thousands of dollars in vet care, could you afford it? PetSavingsUSA.com members are covered by discounted pet insurance with the first 2 months free. Plus, save up to 50% at every major retailer and receive hundreds of dollars worth of free gifts. To receive 2 months of free pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings, call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com.
A special weather alert from the National Weather Service for some severe spring storms covering several portions of several states, including part of Louisiana, where Governor John Bel Edwards says,
it means that the state could very well experience extremely high winds, tornadoes, hail, and flooding.
A tornado in Louisiana yesterday killed a woman and her 3-year-old daughter when it flipped their mobile home. The severe weather expected to continue well into this evening now, also in Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. Major League Baseball's opening day was yesterday. The Cardinals beat the defending champion Chicago Cubs 4-3. Yankees fell to the Rays. And the Giants were defeated by the Diamondbacks. A full slate of games today, and if you're going to the ballpark, doctors suggest you eat healthy.
Dr. Michael Roizen with the Cleveland Clinic says eating healthy is possible, but it's going to take some work. Dr. Roizen says you should get up and move every inning. He also suggests getting up and walking around to see what the ballpark has to offer, something that allows you to get more steps along the way. One ballpark staple that is good for you are peanuts. Dr. Roizen also recommends getting a bottle of water while you're there to stay hydrated.
That's Mark Mayfield. Jason Aldean wins Entertainer of the Year at the American Country Music Awards last night. Female Vocalist of the Year, Miranda Lambert, and Thomas Rhett, Male Vocalist of the Year. Remember, we're powered by WesternJournalism.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's about 40 degrees outside right now. Actually, the sun feels warmer. High could reach lower 60s today. Tonight, rain, mainly late in the evening. Low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, rain and possibly thunderstorm in the morning, then showers and thunderstorm after that. High in the upper 60s. Showers likely Tuesday night, gradually becoming cloudy, low in the 40s. Clearing up on Wednesday, high in the mid-60s again. Maybe a little rain on the overnight, probably early in the morning into Thursday. Showers again Thursday night and into Friday, 40% chance, but should be clear by the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Your name in lights above.
right. We're at the table here, Chef Bill's Table at 100andchamberradio.com. Coming to you on Mondays or whenever you choose to listen on the archives. Always there. Just look up the date. Hopefully down the road we're going to index them by topic so you can search even easier. It's quite a lot of content there. And for the time being, though, usually it goes seasonal with a lot of things, so if it's near a holiday, just pick a date near that, a week or two before, and you could probably pick up some tips. So what's new this week? Oh, food news. Romaine shortage, right? Romaine and iceberg are having problems with, apparently in Europe it's been crazy over there since probably late last year. I saw a lot of articles on it where just the shelves are empty. There's just no production for things like broccoli and zucchini, lettuces. And we're experiencing a similar situation here in the United States. Not going to be too long, I hope, but it's a combination of things. It's weather conditions, the end of growing seasons between Arizona and Salinas Valley, and, well, kind of what happens if we centralize all our production on things. Of course, California and Arizona provide us with nice salad greens year-round, although now the new vertical farming, one starting in New Jersey, will hopefully provide urban areas and especially the East Coast in the cooler times with some nice hydroponically grown salad greens. Spring mix doesn't seem to be an issue. If you like the Arcadian harvest I use, or mesclun for the fancier ones. Spinach is always around, baby spinach if you like. And of course, what we feature is kale during the winter season as a winter salad. Kale always works, especially if you like Caesar. I see a lot of chefs are doing that now. The kale's very hearty, and we use the flowering kale, the kind of lighter stuff, than the dark kale that has to be chopped and massaged, if you will. It has to sit for a while. You have to break up the texture a little bit. But we use the smaller, multicolor, very, very beautiful salad, too. Besides the green and pale green, there's some maroon color and yellow color. Pretty nice salad. We do it with an apple vinaigrette, kind of a creamy, you know, emulsified vinaigrette, and brie and sliced apples, celery. It's kind of our take on a Waldorf salad. So I was thinking, now spring's coming up, and of course the lettuces, at least in the Northeast, we don't have them yet, and what do we do? And I found we were talking about bringing back some of the old stuff, and that's kind of, I do sometimes at Jake's, and you see it with trained chefs also, things from the past that I think we've talked about on the show before, the classic recipes, combinations that always seem to work. And we're thinking of, for some reason, green goddess dressing. I think I was going to do it last spring. I was thinking of a nice spring green before the fiery red vegetables of the summer come in, the tomatoes and peppers and things. And again, thinking strictly seasonally, not what's available. We, of course, with, you know, shipping and access to everything, we pretty much were spoiled and America, we get everything year-round. Even if the quality is a little questionable, we still have the product there. So I was thinking of a green salad. Oh, and the other thing, I guess what caught my attention, I guess Bon Appetit, it was all over social media and even the news, had something called a hand salad. And what it is just you're dipping your romaine leaves into a dressing. And I guess they didn't want to say, I don't know, crudité anymore. That's an old term. But what I'm proposing, you know, we're going to run a little test on it next week with the green goddess dressing, is they call it everything green or call it a forkless salad. And it's kind of like what you would think of as crudité, but using, you know, some seasonal and some readily available products. So the green goddess dressing, for those of you that may have heard it or aren't familiar with it, it's a creamy dressing. It's mayonnaise and sour cream. Basically, the original recipe was a little smashed anchovy in it, but you could use Worcestershire sauce very easily. That's an anchovy extract, even though we think of it usually with meat as the base of it. And some herbs, and it turns out the herbs we eat, have a couple of herb patches at Jake's that we harvest from through the summer. And we always have these, the tarragon and the chives and basil and parsley. We have all these available to us. I mean, not at the present time, but we will have. So I thought, well, here's something that we can very easily maintain, this green goddess dressing. And yeah, people, you know, we have many salad dressings and sauces at the restaurant, but what's one more, right? So I thought of some vegetables for that. And being spring, I think of, you think of peas and asparagus, obviously. And asparagus is pretty good right now. And sugar snap peas are normally available. Sometimes they're a little bit woody, but what I'm proposing with those, if they're nice and fresh and sweet, you could use them raw. Otherwise, we're just going to blanch them for a minute. Blanching meaning to cook in some boiling water, then chill right away, just to set the color and soften up the texture a little bit. We don't want them soft, mushy. We just want them crisp, tender. Same with the asparagus. Raw asparagus, unless it's shaved, kind of turns people off, but we will blanch the asparagus, which we do anyway. We serve it with a crab louis, another retro dish that we kind of brought back. And then some cucumbers, and what I like to do with those, you can stripe them, meaning just peel some peelings off the cucumber, leave a little bit of green behind for some color and texture, and take out the seeds, and then you could cut them into sticks, or you could go cut them in half lengthwise and cut some long semicircles. Zucchini the same way, especially if you get some nice small zucchini. Just stripe it a little bit and then take out the seeds. And again, you could cut the sticks like you would for a crudité, or do those long semicircles. And if you felt a need for some kind of lettuce, I guess Belgian endive, I don't know, something, or put a little bed of spinach down. But this would be a salad that you could put the dressing over the vegetables and eat them with cutlery, or just pick them up and dip. So even if it was for a family-style thing or a sharing salad, often we don't think of salads as being shares, but in this case, it might be. So green goddess or everything green salad, let's not depend on getting the same old all the time. Let's have some vegetables. Truthfully, if it wasn't for shipping in California, I mean, in the Northeast, we wouldn't be having salad for at least a third or so of the year anyway. So sometimes forcing us back to it, being creative, we discover new things. We've got to take a break for a couple of messages. The other topic today really that came across was food waste. I know the official day for it's in October, but my owner's son, he's studying at Tufts, and he's taking a course on the impact of food waste and the dynamics of the whole thing. So we've got some ideas for maybe limiting your food waste by better planning, and also some things to do with leftovers that would make kind of a new dish instead of just reheating the same old thing. Chef Bill's Table. Are you gathering up the cheese?
Have you had enough of mine? At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more. I'm your ice cream man,
stop me when I'm passing by. It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon, or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate pecans and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton, Pamby's, purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we're back at the table here at Chef Bill's Table, 100andchamberradio.com. So food waste, what is it? You hear the statistics all the time and the outcries. It just, when we were told at a young age that America was disliked for its garbage cans. And truthfully, there is a lot of food that doesn't get eaten and would still... A decent percentage of the population kind of undernourished and not having good access to fresh food. It's kind of a shame in this land of bounty. We have so much and we take it for granted. And our food also is relatively inexpensive compared to most other countries or cultures. And we also spend as a nation, let's say, per person, much less time procuring and preparing our meals, shopping, preparation, cleaning up, things like that. We've kind of upswing in food consumed outside the home. I'm in the restaurant business, living proof. More and more restaurants. Takeout is huge. Retail, prepared foods, not just buying ingredients, but getting something already made. It's all in the interest of saving time. And it's funny, what are we going to do with all that time we save? It's not like money that stays in the bank. It marches on. We just kind of jam more things into the working day. And I understand that. The schedules, activities, especially if you're in a suburban area, you've got to drive everywhere. There's no neighborhoods. And, traditional was, one person was at home all day. Unfortunately, usually the mother, and now, of course, non-traditional households, and with the advancement of women in the workforce, which, from World War II on, we can't just say, well, mom's got to stay home and do this. After all, it's 50% of our brain capital is female, maybe 51 or 52, so why waste all that? But still, somebody was at home full-time doing the planning and shopping and preparing. So if we're going to let somebody else do that, of course, there's a price to pay. Whether we go to restaurants, whether we buy pre-prepared ingredients, and really what happens, you're saving time, but sometimes on our end as consumers, we're the ones responsible for a large part of the waste. We overbuy. You go to a buying club, they got these big packages at a discount. You think you're saving money, and by the time you don't use everything, if you make too much and you don't use it, you're throwing it out, or you can't use it in the time frame that's allotted, especially fresh stuff. If you don't have a plan, and say you're buying a big package of chicken breasts or, you know, a big bag of salad mix or something, if you don't have a plan to use that, then you're not saving any money. You're better off paying for a smaller package, using it up, and not having to throw it out. Just trust me, producers, I mean, there is some waste on the farm level, and some of it's due to, in recent years, of course, lack of labor. And sometimes it's weather conditions, and oftentimes it's just the food doesn't make the grade. It's funny that the U.S. number one grade for produce has nothing to do with flavor. It's only based on appearance and consistency. So what happens, you get a U.S. number one potato or an apple, and everything looks nice and shiny and no blemishes on it, but it's no guarantee of flavor. But the problem is at retail level, people don't buy ugly food. If you go to the farmer's market, you get, for some reason people are a little more forgiving. They'll say, oh, this is something that was grown in my neighborhood, and it's local, and it's fresh, but it doesn't look that good. But so what? You trim it up, you're going to peel the carrot anyway. You're not, a couple of blemishes, and I always say if there was a little, wormhole in the apple, that means the apple was good enough to eat, So as long as you don't bite into it and find half a worm, I guess you're all right. So really at the consumer level, we're expected as retailers, and I put restaurants in that too, because, we're serving the end consumer, and high expectations as far as variety and availability. We have, menus in many of the chain restaurants. They're just getting larger and larger, and we're guilty of that at Jake's. We have a large menu. And trying to keep everything fresh and keep everything available instead of selling out of things early, it's a balancing act. And in restaurants, we have our kitchens run kind of like a little ecosystem that you have earmarked. If something is not sold in one condition, you can further process it and use it in another. Whether it's vegetable scraps going into a soup stock, or you have some roast left over, becomes a sandwich. I have fresh tuna, but you've got some trimmings, so we grill that and make a tuna salad. Because we can't really afford to be competitive and keep throwing food away. The alternative choice is just to charge a lot of money for stuff and be wasteful. And even producers, those businesses don't throw a lot of stuff out. They can't afford to. It started with Henry Ford using the leftover wood trimmings to make charcoal, and Kingsford charcoal is still around. Orida making tater tots out of the peelings from potatoes, the scraps from cutting French fries to a certain length, or ones that didn't make the grade. Now that tater tots are a core item, and we've had it happen even in our restaurant. Our porterhouse tip salad came out of using our smaller pieces of filet mignon and sirloin, putting in a marinade, grilling it, putting on salad, and now it's an item that I have to actually buy product for, which is, and I can keep it cost-effective because I'll buy from butchers that have the byproduct available. The expensive restaurants can buy the center-cut filets and the center-cut strip steaks, and I'll take the smaller pieces, and I get them a lot less money. Therefore, I can offer a reasonably priced dish to our guests, and I feel I'm kind of helping the system because I'm using something that otherwise would, go in, pet food or a soup base or something. So we try to keep, but trust me, kitchens, we can't afford to throw out everything that's not prime cut. We have to be able to use everything. So in the household, do we do that? Oftentimes not. The first restaurant I worked at, the owner right away, he said, every day, he says, get your cup of coffee, go in the cooler, go in the walk-in cooler, and look around and look at everything and just start thinking, all right, how long do I have with this? Check the dates on your things, What am I going to use this for? Start making a plan. Even if you don't write it down, you start planting the seed in your mind that, oh, yeah, I've got, a couple of, you know, a few carrots left, or I've got a couple of stalks of celery, or I've got, some stock that, you know, if I didn't use it for soup, what am I going to do with it? You know, do I reboil it? Do I freeze it? Do I make a sauce? Somehow kind of slow down the time clock, because all the food is on a time clock. You know, raw proteins, of course, have a fairly short shelf life. Raw vegetables, fairly long life, although they do lose quality. But then once something's cooked, you've got another few days on it. People put things in the freezer. I try not to do that too often unless I know that I'm going to use it. Again, have a plan, because oftentimes things get lost in the freezer and then they get freezer burnt, and then, you know, especially old food. I don't like freezing old food, because you just, when you pull it out, you got old food. You can't treat it as fresh. You've got to use it right away or cook it right from frozen. So what do we do as far as the individual level? Well, you know, as I said, planning is a lot. And there's a lot of situations where we've got smaller households or single households or single parent, where you're just doing all you can to, you know, pay the rent and keep the lights on. How much time can you spend doing things? Do you have access to a large store where you could shop once a week? I know we did when I was growing up. We did the one Saturday run for, you know, non-foods and canned goods, things like that. But basically the proteins, unless it was something special for Sunday roast, I would head down to the local butcher almost every day. You know, and on Friday, no, we always had meatless Fridays, and maybe, but, you know, the other days it was go down and get some ground beef, get some stew meat, get some eggs, whatever we were going to have. Just two or three blocks away in any direction was a store that you could get things at. You didn't have to buy everything in one trip or worry about shortages, but you still had to have a plan. So my mother always did. She had the coupons. She said, "I'm going to do this." You went with the seasons. You went with what was on sale to save money, and you didn't overbuy. I know we didn't usually have too many leftovers. It was pretty close in a large family. You know, there's always plenty to eat, but it was never the abundance. What I like to do now, especially with smaller households, and people don't want to eat the same thing day after day, I understand that, but when I used to, you know, just be free one night a week, I would cook and plan for a couple of other meals. If I was roasting chicken, I had the oven on, I'd put two chickens in. One was for dinner that night, the other one, you know, let it cool off, take it off the bone, and put it in the refrigerator. Okay, this was going to be for maybe some pasta, or just, you know, I always would make a little extra gravy, you know, and again, if the oven, if I'm at the stove, I would cook extra things saying, all right, this is going to be something we're going to have either the next day or the day after. Some, you know, within 2 days, we're going to use this stuff up. And by planning, what I used to call it engineering leftovers, if you have a roast, say, all right, I know I'm going to have a couple of pounds left. What am I going to do with it? You know, we would have, if we had ham or beef or something, my mother would make a hash. Very easy. You have some potatoes, but again, you need the potatoes. You know, do you have cooked potatoes on hand? Are they raw? Good pantry staple. And again, in restaurants, baked potatoes, and we used to have them on menus. So we always had some left over. We didn't throw them out. We would save them for a few days, and you could make a home fry. You could make a gratin potato or cube them up into a soup. Always have a use ready for what leftovers you may incur, or you need to just buy very smartly and buy close to what you need. And here's where what we call value added or speed scratch in our business, but our prepared foods are already prepped. So instead of buying a whole zucchini, you get a little package of mixed zucchini, peppers, and onions. I don't need a whole onion. I don't need a whole pepper. I just need this little bit. And the stores are accommodating with that. You will pay a little bit more money per pound because you're paying somebody's labor, but also the stores are then able to use maybe some of the less than perfect looking food. Say, you know, pepper's got a blemish on it. They can trim that off, slice the rest of it, package it, and hopefully somebody buys it in a couple of days. And if it doesn't get sold there, then it goes into prepared foods, and they'll make, sausage and peppers out of it. There's got a couple of students that work in retail, and It's that whole path of product through the operation. So they say a lot of the waste comes from just having to have a lot of stuff available and not watching code dates, which we'll talk about, and then also just being at a loss on how to turn, you know, some of the leftovers into a nice hearty meal. We've got a break for news. We'll be back at the table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I think my defection in the long term would encourage the further defections.
It doesn't happen often that a North Korean diplomat defects to the United States, but that's what Tae Young-ho did last year. The former North Korean diplomat says,
I thought and planned, you know, this defection for quite a long time.
And he says in an interview with NBC News that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un would absolutely use nuclear weapons to stay in power, and that Kim is desperate to develop an ICBM that can carry a nuke to hit the U.S. The North Korean threat will be a big topic of discussion when the Chinese president meets with President Trump later this week. At least 10 people reportedly killed this morning in explosions that erupted in the subway system in St. Petersburg, Russia. Dozens more people injured. The system's been shut down. This is USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour, use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Ah, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D. Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait!
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
Bill's table here. So how are we going to work our way out of this? So shopping, planning properly, buying properly, of course, making a list and sticking to it, unless something really is a good deal. It's if you buy a 2-for-1 or buy one, get one half off, are you really going to use it? You know, something canned, something dried, maybe. And also the other issue, sell-by dates or best buy. If something's best buy, that's the manufacturer really wants to represent the product well. And I think a lot of foods get pulled off the shelf a little bit too early because they don't want the product to not be at its peak. And also they, you know, trying to leave a little room for error if somebody has it too long, but especially cheeses. You know, it's they get pulled too early, I think. And it's because a lot of them, these shredded packets, of course, I mean, it's, you know, a controlled atmosphere packaging. But still, once you shred something up, expose it, the risk of a mold happening is greater. And then it gets into the bag and the smell is there and it's not good. You have a block of cheese and a little mold on the outside, you just cut it off. The rest of it's still fine. It doesn't affect the rest of the cheese. So sometimes it's how we buy. And I know it's nice to have pre-shredded cheese on hand, but truthfully, I mean, a little box grater doesn't take that long. And usually you're paying a premium for it to be shredded. And I'll tell you, we still hand shred ours for our macaroni and cheese. I buy American cheese as part of the mix, and I don't buy the slices. That's really kind of made by, you know, it's a liquid processed cheese putting out there. I get block American, which you can't even find in stores anymore. It's unsliced and it's solid enough. It's not all soft and watery. It's good cheese. And then of course our the cabbage cheddar. And I could buy that shredded, but I don't. We hand shred it, and it's different. Just like the chopped lettuce in the bag. I know it's triple washed and it's safe and everything, but there just seems to be, you know, something different about that lettuce. I'm not saying it's bad, and sometimes that's the way to do it. If you're not a big household and you're not using a lot of salad, don't buy three heads of different lettuces to make your mix. You're better off just buying a bag or go to a place that has a little salad bar there. But a well-stocked pantry can help you be creative on what you can do. And by pantry, I mean, you know, some perishables, obviously keep some cheeses, some eggs around. Maybe, you know, smoked dried foods, you know, pepperoni, or sometimes some sausages. Smoked foods have a little bit longer shelf life. The freezer, frozen vegetables, not a bad idea. I mean, I know sometimes texture-wise they're a little different than fresh, but truthfully, they're picked at their peak prime season. Again, to make that government grade, and they're processed minimally. They still have good nutrition, and sometimes it's, again, it makes more sense to get a small thing of frozen, good frozen, than buying a whole head of something or a big bunch of something that you're not going to use. But definitely keep potatoes, sweet potatoes, root vegetables stay a long time, squashes, cabbage. And then in the dry goods, think of the Mediterranean cuisine, roasted peppers, artichokes, olives, even some prepared sauces if you like, if you don't want to keep all the ingredients, or, you know, spice blends. Sometimes, you know, you try a brand of something and, say a stir-fry sauce. Instead of keeping all the ingredients for a stir-fry, unless you're making them all the time, you're almost better off buying a sauce or make a sauce yourself and put it in a bottle and refrigerate it. You know, it'll hold up a long time. Beans, definitely either dried or canned. Beans are a big help to have on hand. Tomato product, good oil, olive oil, and naturally pasta and rice and grains. So you have things that you can always stretch food out with or make a main dish out of. You see a trend in restaurants now, even, you know, the eggs are beyond breakfast anymore. It's on top of poached egg or a fried egg, on, you know, everything from hamburgers to fried rice to a lot of cultures, you know, the eggs, it's perfect protein. And you only need one or two. You don't need, you know, you don't need a half a pound of eggs, although, you know, it's nice if you wanted a big omelet. But seriously, for nutrition-wise, say you have a little bit of meat or fish and something, I mean, adding egg is really inexpensive, still one of the least expensive proteins out there. And for the nice, perfect food, I mean, it's a shame we don't use more eggs. So what do we do? So if we have, like I mentioned before, something with a roast, that's kind of easy to plan leftovers because you make a little extra sauce or gravy, and you can always have it sliced either an open-faced sandwich or with chicken. I would say you take the gravy, add a little cream to it, and make a pasta dish, stir-fry, thin julienne pieces of it. You know, steam some rice, you have some little pieces of vegetables. And the stir-fry doesn't have to be say, Chinese style or Southeast Asian style. It could be anything. You could do an Italian style. You're just basically sautéing proteins and vegetables. If the protein's already cooked, you just julienne it and add it at the end once you've had a little sauce made. But it's just basically you can cube, you can slice, you can julienne. Do the vegetables any way you want. It's just very quick cooking, and have some kind of sauce, and protein, if it's already cooked, goes in at the end. And again, if you're doing more vegetables, maybe the meat's a little bit of flavoring. Nothing wrong with a nice soft-cooked egg right on top. A favorite when we had Milford Market, it was we call it champagne chicken salad. When we opened, we needed some things to put in the deli, so came up with a salad using cooked chicken. You could poach it or bake it or grill it. Let it cool down. Chicken breast is what we used, the boneless, skinless breast. And we would cut it into slices instead of cubing it. And we would add some marinated artichoke hearts and some good Greek olives, the Kalmettis, something that's in a nice brine, not the California olives. Some roasted peppers. We used a champagne vinaigrette as the dressing, but you could use any kind of dressing you like, but it's just these vegetables are all shelf-stable. They're things you can keep in your pantry. Maybe add a little fresh celery and scallion to it if you want that onion flavor. But with the marinade from the artichoke hearts and the dressing, it really, you know, your seasoning, everything's right there. And you've got something that's a little bit different. If you're, our vinaigrette, it wasn't really a mayonnaise-based. It was emulsified. But if you didn't want a mayonnaise type, you could use your favorite dressing. And right off the shelf with some chicken, you've got a nice something that now the vegetables are cooked, the olives, it's got decent shelf life because the a little bit of acidic content in there in the salad, and very good. I've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll come got a couple of other quick ideas, just classics, things I've special or menued, actually made fresh product for it, but very good for using leftovers. Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Music.
All right, we're back at the table here. Winding down. So, yeah, other things. I mean, I would just do this anyway. It actually can end up tasting good. I worked at the Lake Placid Club. We took, used to every week go through the garbage area, the cold food, and cheeses that were in there, you know, from cheese platters, things like that. You had all these pieces. And one of my jobs was to take all that stuff, any of the semi-hard cheeses, and grind them up, blend them with some other cheese to make a gratin topping, whether for potatoes or vegetables or making a cheese sauce. I've done it at home, and sometimes some of the best dishes you have, you know, I got a couple of slices of Munster, a little Swiss, I got some of the, you know, cheddar. It doesn't matter what the recipe says, just blend it up. My kids used to love that. You call it five cheese pasta, right, or mac and cheese. And now you see people touting how many cheeses they put in something. So never, or you know, even the cheese is drying out a little bit. Say you didn't wrap it tightly enough. It's getting a little dry. It's fine. It's, as long as it's not moldy, it's shred it up and put it in something. If you have other smoked meats, bacon, whether it's cooked or not, say, you know, you made too much and you got some cooked bacon, can always go, I mean, in a carbonara pasta I would think of, but even in baked beans, you know, for serving that, if I have some barbecue or something, always throw something into the beans, especially smoked product. Gives you a nice kind of barbecue. And speaking of beans, cassoulet, even though it's a very good dish and made from scratch, it's hours of work, it's beautiful. The same idea, I mean, if you have, so I like using the dried beans. They don't, I mean, soaking them, I don't know, what the, especially with cannellinis or white northerns, I've never had any issue with just cooking them right from dry. And of course, we rinse them and look for any stones, but besides that, as long as there's no acid or salt in the water, they're going to cook up and soften. It does, it's an hour and a half, and you're ready to start adding ingredients. But a cassoulet-type dish doesn't have to be the classic French way with the confit and everything. It could be baked beans with other ingredients put in. So you have a little bit of sausage left, or you have some chicken or some cubed meat, and call it a cassoulet and season it the way you want. It doesn't have to be just the garlic and the onion. It could be a sweeter New England-style baked beans. It could be, you know, an Italian beans and greens. Great way to use up, you know, so I got some lettuce leaves I have to use up. I've got some beans, and you throw a chunk of pepperoni or sausage in there, and you've got a meal. And speaking of that, even meatballs and sausage, one restaurant I worked, we always had to have those, of course, on the steam table line for, so it was a big place, so we needed the meatballs and sausage always hot. Well, you always had some at the end of service, and we would take them right out of the sauce so it would cool down fast. We would save that sauce because all that flavor was in there, and we would chop up the meatballs and sausage, mix them back in the sauce, and that would become our ragu or our meat sauce. You just might have to add a little bit more fresh tomato sauce to it. So it was usually pretty thick, but then that would also be a meat filling for lasagna. So there you go. Again, we had these leftovers that we knew we would have, but also there was a plan to use them up, which is part of the trick there. This is the night of the expanding man. What's another risotto? Again, I gravitate to the Italian, but really, you know, great way to present food. Again, risotto, it's a fresh product, and you could always use some vegetable pieces in that. So instead of, oh, I've got a carrot, I've got a couple of green beans and whatever, you know, just because there's not a recipe for it, if you have technique, you can adapt it and make it your own. So that would be a substantial, it could be a vegetable main course, it could be something that you would serve with a little bit of other protein. Say, all right, I've got, you know, some I mean, a classic, one of the nice prepared foods to buy, my favorite, of course, rotisserie chicken, if you don't have time to roast your own. You know, my sister and my mother got them hooked on those, and they, but they'll get two meals, plus save the bones, save the little gelatin that's in the container, the meat juices, and make a little stock. Then you've got something for soup with any kind of trimmings. I mean, it's really a way to, you know, it's, they might say, oh, I got to spend, you know, $6 for a chicken, but you get two meals plus some broth out of it. That's a pretty good value. And also remember, if you're using, say, sliced cold cuts, you know, even if they're prepackaged, they've been open for a while, I find those are best if you somehow heat those up a little bit, cook them. We worry about listeria, about bacteria in ready-to-eat foods that are not being rethermalized, shall we say. And most of the time you don't have an issue, but if something was hanging around for a while, I would rather cube it or julienne it and cook it just to be on the safe side. And oftentimes that's really what you need. You need a little bit of that, especially with smoked products. You need that little bit of flavor in something. You know, it's best to just dice it up. Although, if you have corned beef or pastrami, now everybody likes cheesesteaks, right? And oftentimes you buy either the, you know, the little frozen wafer things, or you buy some fresh ribeye that's shaved, or you slice up your own. Some people use leftover roast beef, but we made them with pastrami, thin sliced pastrami. And what we do is, you know, you have your Russian dressing, have your nice rolls, and what I would do is toast the roll in the oven with the dressing and the Swiss cheese, so kind of melt the cheese right onto the roll in the oven. It doesn't take long. And then on the stove, saute a little bit of thin sliced onion till they're soft. You could put peppers if you want also. And the pastrami, I would just, it's sliced already, just put it in just like you would the cheesesteak meat. You know, people do chicken ones, they do other ones, but yeah, and you could do, say you had some deli turkey left over, just julienne it up or chop it up and do a cheesesteak. You know, something that people like that would you normally go and pick up, get takeout. You know, just find the bread and make your own. It's just a nice dinner-sized variation on a sandwich. And of course, the classic, you know, fried rice, leftover rice, never an excuse to throw that out, because really to make fried rice, you need cooked rice. And very simple, again, start with your vegetables, get them going, and then the rice goes in. If you want to break it up a little bit, sometimes if you have your little, you know, the rice gets kind of like in a hard clump, you just put it in the microwave for a couple, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, just to loosen it up. You don't want it too hot. You just want to loosen it up. You have your seasonings. If you're making, you know, a Chinese style, you might, you know, you have your soy sauce and your little bit of sesame oil, maybe a little rice wine or sherry. And for the protein, if you don't have any protein, and again, a couple of fried eggs on top, and you've got a nice dinner. Or making eggs the main event, a frittata or a torta like we talked about last week with the paella, just vegetables. I mean, instead of going through the trouble of a quiche or anything like that, which would be, you know, pie crust baking, just make a big frittata. Did that one time. We had this, you know, a bunch of us, the siblings, we were back home for a visit. So we wanted to make something for breakfast, and there's only, you know, a handful of slices of bacon, and oh, it's not even one piece per person. What are we going to do? We had plenty of eggs, and in the freezer, my brother had frozen some tomatoes whole, not canning them, not doing anything to them, just figured, oh, I'll just freeze these. And of course, they're like croquet balls, they're rock hard. We took them out the night before, and of course, because of the cell damage that happens when things freeze, they turned into kind of the tomato pulp, which was kind of cool because the skin and the stem came right away, and we had this nice tomato pulp, fresh frozen, and but the work was already done. We didn't have to blanch and peel the tomatoes. So what I did was we made a big frittata with some vegetables and cheese, and I made